Mrs. Kleiman. Okay. We are up to Meinika. It's about halfway down. It's two dots. Go across and place this Lefichach and move up three lines. There's noise out there if people can mute themselves. If not, we will exercise the nuclear option. Which I do every week in another shiur I give. I don't even wait. I just put everybody on mute. Like, Meinika Achatigmo. Meinika was a machloikus of the Mishnah. Remeir said till she nurses, till she finishes nursing. And the Chachamim said 24 months. There were three names in the Chachamim. It wasn't without names. I forgot already the names in the Mishnah, but there were three names. We'll have to find the Mishnah. What? Dynamite base. Thank you. The Mishnah gave Chachamim. The Mishnah said Chachamim. Okay. Nothing in my right. Turn around, Bonham, and Ekish, and Mason, but there's less of Arba Chaydish. A nursing woman that her child died, Chachman al Islam, within 24 months. Harika Chaman Nashim, she becomes a regular woman of the time of Mason, of Pekinda Lepkinda. Because her periods start again, and therefore she's a regular woman, she's not a Mesulekas Dama. Lefichach, the Mason, and Inkasa, and Lechas Arba Chamishanim. Therefore, if it depends on nursing, so as long as this woman nurses, Daya Shaita, Divere Meir. That means it'll be enough. That is the words of her mayor, that it depends on nursing. I just want to point out before I start.
Not a fixed time.
Right. I want to point out that Ramesha says that even though Bismarck says things are different, Ramesha and Tshuva writes, Nishtana Hateva. Today women can nurse, and they see periods well before 24 months, and it doesn't happen, at least Ramesha didn't think it happened too frequently, that a woman should nurse very long and not have a period. So he said, Ramesha writes, Nishtan HaTeva. So if Ramesha says Nishtan HaTeva, that is the way we will operate from any current questions that happen as Manazef. Ramesha Nechuba discusses this directly. Rav Yudim, Rav Yezer, Rav Shimon, Aymim, Dayan Shaitan, Kol Esav Arba Chaydish, it's a 24-month fixed time, whether they're nursing or not nursing. She goes beyond 24 months, 4 or 5 years, but time it makes place, she has the halacha of every woman that is matami 24 hours, and from the last bedika, whichever is later. When you look into things, you will come out. That it's the blood that turns into milk, meaning that her periods, right, as Dr. Schwab explained to me, that it's the liquid in her body that is drawn, that turns into blood, to milk, and therefore that includes the periods according to the Gemara, and therefore, as long as she's nursing, the periods won't be the normal periods. The variation of Buddha Rav Shimon has nothing to do with the periods. It has a vera, meaning with milk. It's a vera misparkin. The act of childbirth messes up her body. I can't think of a good verb.
Trauma.
That's what it misparkin. I'm just thinking of misparkin. Shake up.
Shaky.
Very nafshu chazeres, and she doesn't return to her strength. Her body does not recuperate fully out of esavar b'chaydes. Leficha, period. Let's catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Matana Meshleis, Shayna Dabar Talu, it's all the way up. I don't know if you have it, it's up, much further up than the Gemara started. It's on, I'm not going to count the lines. I would say it's about 25 lines, 20-some lines. In the narrow lines. It depends on the nursing of the child. It's the blood that thickens and becomes milk. If the child dies, she stops nursing, the blood returns to normal. Since it depends on nursing, it might be a period. Even though the kid died, has nothing to do with the yinika of the son. Because of the pain of birth, trauma, if a ram is sparking, they get loose and shaky, the body does not return to its regular operation until 24 months. There's nothing to do with the baby. It might have been a after 24 months, it makes no difference. Nafsha dama. Rashi's saying, nafsha chazeres means her periods don't start. I translated it as strength. I did it for a reason, but Rashi says it means the butt. I don't argue on Rashi. But the Gemara later on uses it for strength, I believe. So therefore, I did it here too. But Rashi says, ein nafsha chazeres means her periods don't start. Why do we need Rameir to say this? I mean, obviously, if he says that the reason is because she's nursing, it's as long as she's nursing. Why did the bride have to speak out, therefore she nurses longer? Why would I think any differently? It's nursing. The act of nursing is the same by a one-year-old, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, or a four-year-old. And if nursing is what does it, why should the bride have to speak it out? Zogta Gemara, you're right. Mishum Lefichuk Rabbi Yaisi. We had to speak it out because of Rabbi Yaisi, who said, therefore, past 24 months, she's considered a regular woman. Frekta Gemara Lefichuk Rabbi Yaisi Lamali. So why did Rabbi Yaisi have to say it again? If he says it's a trauma of 24 up to 24 months, so we know that past 24 months it doesn't go. Why did the Braisa feel necessary to say, therefore, past 24 months? It's obvious from listening to him. The Gemara B'Smad Tamer Rabbi Yaisi Tar to Yisrael. Because you could have interpreted Rabbi Yaisi to say he holds both reasons. There's a trauma of 24 months that's independent of her nursing, but her nursing also does it, and it can go past 24 months. Therefore, Kamash Malone has to speak out. The Rabbi Yaisi, it's only the trauma. And once it says there, the Lefichach by Rabbi Yaisi, for style purposes, it said the Lefichach of Rameyer. Now, I just want to point out, that sounds like a Machloikus and Matthias, because Rabbi Yaisi is saying it'll go back after 24 months, whether she's nursing or not, and won't be there for 24 months, whether she's nursing or not. And Rameyer seems to say it depends on nursing. It sounds like, hello, let's make a test. Let's find out what happens. I don't know the answer to that question in this case. Usually, we say, the question is a significant minority to take into account? But here, we're basing a halacha of Meselekes Damim of one of two causes. Now, unless you tell me most women stopped nursing at two, so we never were able to ascertain whether it went past that or not, or we didn't have enough of a pool of women to check, and very few big babies died, but that's a little bit difficult because a lot of babies used to die. So I don't know if shot in the answer. Yes?
The experiment was done all the time. Rich women use wet nurses.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know, but it makes the question stronger.
Exactly my point. What would a wet nurse be? Was she somebody had children within 24 months?
Yeah. A wet nurse is a woman that has milk.
Go beyond 24.
We don't. She can have milk as long as she wants. We're not worried about her period now.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Okay, so she can go on now.
As long as she's getting stimulated, as long as there's something touching in the breast, or expressing milk, there is, like a cow, there is a possibility that she may or may not.
Don't trashy, lovely. Even though I'm married to Karan Hashem, I'm a Batinik Tagimilsa. He said that as soon as she stops nursing, she's like a regular woman. That means it depends on the child. She did the Minikasalayim to Dashaita. So why would I think it's different after 2 years? Mal the Tamer of Yaisi Tarti Isla. He holds both reasons. Dam Nakar, he agrees, the Havamina, that he agrees that the blood can becomes thicker. One, the Viram is Sparkin, and the trauma causes a shaking up of her limbs. And that's why Rabbi Yaisi says if the baby dies within 24 months, daya shaita, mishum that daya lechaz her dama. It's enough her time. She doesn't have to go back 24 hours. Because the period has not returned because of the trauma. And if she nurses later more, nami daya shaita. Even though her strength, see here, nafsha can't mean the blood. Because we're saying that the blood doesn't come back. That's why I translated nafsha as strength. Even though Rashi himself said it meant blood, but here it can't mean that. He's trying to say that the blood wouldn't come back. Even though the strength came back at the end of 24 months. Or maybe the blood comes back after 24 months, but it doesn't come out as blood because it turns into milk. Kamash Malan, Lefichach, the Dafka Kamar of Yaisi. the Beis is saying only she'ein ha'tam toli on the pirik evarim. That the reason doesn't depend only on the shake up of her limbs. Ben yainik, whether the baby nurses ben she'ein yainik, da'i shaita, chav dalet chaydish, 24 months, loy pachas v'lo yaitzer, not less, not more. Avul lefichach d'remeir liyitzrach. You're right, Remeir had no reason to say the lefichach. But Remeir ain't stealing davim toiv chav dalet chaydish. He says it clearly. There's nothing to do with 24 months. It has to do with nursing. So there's no difference between within 24 months, say, anymore. The EIC look, if you're going to tell me Remeir agrees to a trauma, so why does he say if the baby dies that she goes back to revert to a regular woman? If he agrees to trauma, he should give a certain time of trauma. And since there's no removal, there's no reason to say that it should come back. I mean, he would say Remeir is obvious. By saying that a baby who dies, the mother becomes a regular woman shortly after childbirth, that means, obviously, it's not trauma. So the reason must be nursing. And if the reason is nursing, as long as she nurses. There's no chiddush. But Reb Yossi, you might think he's adding either nursing or trauma. So therefore, Reb Yaisi, we say, lefichach, no. Reb Yaisi does not agree to the nursing part. He only holds of the trauma part. When she's nursing him, according to a mayor, it's the nursing. Who cares how long it is? So therefore, a mayor's lefichach is extra. It's obvious. Reb Yaisi's is not obvious. Because you might understand Reb Yaisi as saying that there are two causes for the her not having blood. But by saying lefichach, it takes away one of the causes. Zag de Gemara Vayter. Amar Rabbi Loi. My time in Remeir. Why does Remeir say that the blood turns into milk? Zag Rashi. Kloimar. Menolei l'Remeir, the dam neck of an asacholov. How does Remeir know this fact, that it's the blood that thickens and becomes milk? I like this Gemara, not that I pick Gemaras that I like over other like, because the Gemara here is saying Gevaldik Yisrael. Remeir knew it from the Torah. He didn't know it from some study. He learned the Nach, this is a pasuk in Iyuv, and he saw in Iyuv this physical fact, and therefore, to him, that was halacha. What was the fact he saw? Miyitein tahar mitamay. Who takes something that's tamay and makes it tahar? Who can take something tamay and make it tahar? Meaning that something comes from tamay that is tahar. Lo yechad. Isn't it the one and only Rabbeinu Shloilem? So therefore, he saw that milk comes from tamay. Dam nida is tamay, and milk is tahar. Therefore, he said, the pasuk is telling me, tar comes from tamay. And he understood that to mean milk. Rabbanon, what do Rabbanon do with that pasuk? They don't learn that it's the milk that turns in, that the dam turns into milk. They don't learn that that's the factor. Rabbi Yechanan, Zushich Vezera, refers to semen, Shehu Tamei, V'adam HaNeitzer, B'menu Tar. It's something that's tamay that creates a human that's tar. Here is Meit and Tar, Meit Tamei. Period. Rashi. Zot Rashi, my time at Remeir, Kalayim Minolei L'Remeir, the dumb knack of an Asacholov. How does he know it? Tar mitamai, charlov midam. Lo yechad, bitmiya. Question mark. Isn't it the one? Kalayim yechidai shalaylam, the one of the world. Yachid ve'en yechidus kamayi b'shum panim. He is the one and only, the unique, whatever way you want to translate that. Rabbanon, I'm Rabbi Yechanan. Kalayim Rabbanon, haikra mayavdilei. What did the Rabbanon do with that pasuk? Rabbi Yechanan, that it's going on Sheikh Vazera. Yes, doctor.
I don't understand the argument. I see the verse also applied to honey as well, which is a product of bees, which is explained in several different ways, but this verse sometimes.
The
general principle is that the Rabbi Yechanan can take something, which is tamei, and try and transform it into har. Yes, you know, there are many different details, but the general principle is the Rabbi Yechanan. I don't understand what, you know.
I'm not understanding what's bothering you. Meaning, how did Rameir know it's going on milk?
One of the things it goes on is milk. It also goes on semen. It also goes on sprinkling water. It also goes on honey. It also goes on
honey. They say, why did Gemara didn't bring honey in? There's a farsim say it. I don't remember what they say.
But that's, you know, I've seen the verse applied to it.
But Weiter. Reb Lazar Eimer, Reb Lazar of the Amira, says a different shot in the pasuk that the Rabbana will learn. Elu mehanida. This is the sprinkling water. Okay. There's a common error that people make. It's one of the mistakes that if you ask a regular person who sits and learns, he'll tell you the wrong thing. There are many common errors in learning because people heard something when they were a cheder or in school in sixth grade or fifth grade, and that accompanies them the rest of their life. So they learn a Gemara and they told them they were all wrong. And they might not get to need it so fast, so they might not know it's wrong. But it's a common error. Everybody knows that paraduma is matar tmeim and matar mitahirim. If you ask a regular guy, he'll tell you it means that the person that's tame gets sprinkled on becomes tahar, and the person that sprinkles becomes tame. That's what everybody will tell you, and it's wrong. The person that sprinkles is tahar. The matar mitahirim is not the person that sprinkles. It's matar tmeim, the one who gets sprinkled on becomes tahar. It's Matame Tahirim, and the Gemara will tell you what it is. Who becomes Tame? But nobody, the Gemara does not say that the one who sprinkles becomes Tame. And this is one of the common errors. You stop Yeshiva Bachar, a young man, and say to him, how is Paraduma Matar Tameim and Matame Tahirim? He will tell you, very simple, the one who gets sprinkled on is Tame Tahar, and the one who sprinkles becomes Tame. Wrong. And this is what the Gemara is going to say now. The one who sprinkles, and the one who gets sprinkled on, is tahar. And the one who touches the paraduma water, who doesn't sprinkle, he just stops touching it, becomes tame. So Reuben is Shimon. Reuben touches the paraduma water so he can sprinkle. He's fine. Shimon, who has nothing to do with it, touches the paraduma water, he becomes tame. The same water that Reuben touches and is not tame, and then sprinkles it on somebody else, and that person becomes tahar. That same water will make somebody else who touches it tame.
I never knew that.
You're not the only one. I think, by and large, people don't know this. But there's a reason they don't know it, if you give me a minute. Fred, the Gemara, the Pasuk says, the one that sprinkles Tame. See, that's why nobody knows it. Because they all listen to Parshas Parah, to something the Raitza. Everybody gets all involved in listening to Parshas Parah. And over there it says, Fred, the Gemara, says one who sprinkles the water and becomes Tame, and his clothing becomes Tame. So doesn't the Pasuk say the Maza is Tame? Which is why everybody walks around saying it. And for the Gemara, my maza negeya. Maza doesn't mean the sprinkler, it means the guy who touches it. But he's not sprinkling. Frank, the Gemara can't be. Because v'chsiv maza v'chsiv negeya. It says the sprinkler in one passage. It says v'negeya v'me'anida. Maza me'anida yichavet v'gadav. V'negeya v'me'anida yitmar arev. And his clothing doesn't become tummy by touching it. So how can you tell me maza means negeya when the same passage says negeya? Boy, Maza boy in kibus. Maza's clothing needs to go to the mikvah. Benegaya, loy boy in kibus. Same pasuk. Maza may anida yechavas v'gadav, but a gave a man he the hit by the arav. And for the Gemara, you're right, though. My Maza noise, he carries it. He carries the water of the paraduma. He becomes tamei, that his clothing becomes tamei. Frank the Gemara will lift them nicely. So why did the Torah do this? Why did the Torah write Maza when it doesn't mean Maza? It means nicely. The Mashmalan, the Ad the Doric Yashir Hazah. The amount he has to carry is the shear that's needed for dipping in your finger and sprinkling. And therefore, the Torah expresses it as sprinkling to tell me the amount needed for carrying.
That's like a big shear.
What? No, but it's more than a little bit. But Frank to Gemara. That's good according to the Mandamer. It says that there's a minimum that you have to sprinkle. But there's a Mandamer that says any amount. So the Gemara, even according to the Mandamer that says you don't need a shear, that's what has to hit the person. But it has to hit the person as a minimum. Avo bimbana, but in the Kaili, by a shear. But in the Kaili, you need a shear. Meaning, the Kaili that holds the water has to have a shear. Whether you have to put the shear on the person or not is a machloikas. But the Torah is telling me, Maza, if you're carrying the amount that you need in the Kaili for sprinkling, it's tamed. It did not. How much water you have to have that it's enough to sprinkle? Meaning, how much do you have to have in the Kaili? Today she into a Russian Gavilon Biyaza. She's able to dip in to touch these tips of the stems of the azib of the hyssop and sprinkle. The Hayyu Damishloima, and this Pasuk of Yitim Tar Bitamai tells me, or by Paradumi he said it specifically, I thought I'm smart enough to understand the Torah. He Rechaikim Imenu, when I got to Paraduma, I saw I don't get it. Meaning, Shlaima Melech, the wisest man that ever lived, said he understood all, he thought that he has the reasons for everything in the Torah. He understood the Torah on a level, he has figured it all out. When he got to Paraduma, he saw he didn't figure it out because he didn't understand Paraduma, why this works. So what does that show, Shlaima Melech? That he doesn't understand anything. Meaning you understood it to a certain level, but don't think you got to the bottom of it. The reason you didn't get to the bottom of it is you didn't understand Paraduma. If you would have gotten to the bottom, you would have understood everything. That means there's more levels that you don't get. That's what Shlaima Melech said. I thought I figured it out. And I found out now, Paraduma taught me that I didn't figure it out. I figured it out to a certain level, more than Yitzchak Margaret. But that doesn't mean he got to the bottom. That's what he said. Why? Because of the halacha Paraduma. Now, Tosfos has a problem. How did Chazal know that Mazad means Naisei? Why did they change the translation from the regular? That's Tosfos' discussion. So Tosfos says, because it says, V'hiza hatar ala tameh. If you're going to tell me that sprinkling makes you tameh, so V'hiza hatar ala tameh, meaning he started tar, but he became tameh. So therefore, Tosfos says, Chazal saw that the sprinkler is tar. But somebody else is tameh. Because if you're telling me he's tameh, then v'hiz ator means he starts off sprinkling when he's tar, and then he turns tameh. That's a very sharp shot for Tosfos. So Chazal saw that the sprinkler is tar. He remains tar. And somebody else is tameh. Now, who's the somebody else? It can't be the guy that touches it, because that's different. So it must be the person that carries it.
So what if Reuven HaKohen carried it, and Reuven HaKohen sprinkled it?
He doesn't. Exactly. The one who carries it doesn't sprinkle it.
What if he did? Bottom line, is he dummy or not?
Who? The sprinkler?
Yeah.
No.
He's carrying it.
Who says he's carrying it?
He's not carrying it. What if he was, though?
Okay, I think he's dumbing. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry, I retract Tosfos. The gave a nice at the time. Take a look at Tosfos, the second one from the bottom. Hainu bechinam, for no reason. The one who carries it for the purpose of sprinkling, or touches it for the purpose of sprinkling, does not become Tosfos. So there's the answer to the question. It's a Tosfos.
Carrying the pen.
Yes, doctor.
I know it's because the Gemara does not deal with the whole other side, which is during deduction from all the people who are stomach.
Not to get this.
Yes, but it's part of the court dilemma. The other thing I was going to mention is Rabbi Einstetter has a very beautiful thing that this method that Shlomo Melech used to understand everything, and this relates to what you said about that the Methodist not used to understand everything was invalidated in toto in every aspect by the fact that it was mind.
But that's exactly I said that.
The whole approach of understanding.
If he thought, I just said, Imam said it.
There's what you said earlier.
I said it now. I'm talking about
what you said earlier. Likens says that the that verses were axiomatic in understanding all ontology. That the flip side of personal knowledge not being able to understand for
He didn't get to the depth of it. Right. Yes.
He didn't get to the understanding of the period.
Correct.
Chinam means refers to somebody who has no reason for such clear or logical.
Correct. No valid reason to be involved.
Chinam Nose, I've used the word Nose.
Carried it.
He's carrying it for a purpose.
Again.
I know the answer is I'm wrong. I know.
The answer is you're wrong, but he wasn't carrying it for a purpose.
Because the Chinam. Another thing is, years ago I read something, didn't explain why or how, but the word Chokha, when Shlomo said that, was really the key to understanding. Are you familiar with that at all?
Okay, see, this is where, you know, this again, I always am bothered by this. Just adds to my bother. People say beautiful pshatim. And a lovely, great pshatim. But can't change pshat. Now, what they're saying is that Rechaika means he got to the point that you can't understand. That's the understanding he reached. The understanding he reached was that he can't understand, which is the true understanding of things, to know that you can't understand. That's what that vort says. It doesn't change the fact that he didn't understand it.
And also,
again, that's the danger. I learned this the first year I taught, back in 1984. I walked in, and I said that something is not understood. It makes no sense. And a kid raised his hand, and he said, Rebbe, this Shabbos, my Rav, said shot that. He understood what his Rav said. Because I'll say it's not understandable, right? But his Rav had said a shot in it. Right. So this kid asked on the Gemara from his Rav's explanation. Because as a kid, he doesn't have the avchana of understanding that shots are wonderful, but there's Chazal that starts it off. Chazal say he didn't understand it. What that Vark was saying is recognizing you don't understand is also an understanding, is a level. We think we understand. You said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what basically it says.
And did he understand every other
program? He obviously thought he did. Paraduma taught him that he doesn't. That's what Dr. Schwab was saying from Rabbi Einstein, that's what I said right away. That by not understanding Paraduma, it teaches that he doesn't really get to the bottom of anything.
Not like he knows everything else except
this. Right, but by, this shows that you haven't gotten to the bottom level yet. That's all.
Clarify, so the one who sprinkled and... The one who got sprinkled out of the tar, the one who sprinkled his tar, the one who carries it for the purpose of sprinkling the tar, you carry, if someone else carries it, doesn't do the sprinkling, he's dumb, even though he's...
I don't know. If you're asking me a question, what if he's bringing it here for the sprinkler?
Right.
I don't know. Christ just uses the word bechina.
What if someone touches the water, just like touches the water?
He becomes tummy.
That's the
tummy. No. He's tummy without having to clean his clothes, without taking the clothes to the mikvah. The one who carries it has to take his clothes to the mikvah.
Who carries it for no purpose.
Right.
We're not sure about who carries it.
I don't know. Kaita uses the word Bechina Lavagdeva Hazai. If it doesn't say clearly whether he's the sprinkler or not, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever you'll say, I'll agree to it because I don't know. Or I won't agree to it because I don't know.
He says he carries it Bechina for no reason, but if it's for sprinkling, then it's.
Yeah, but I don't know if that means if he sprinkles or for someone else to sprinkle. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Okay, Rashi. Dr. Rashi, V'ay negei eloi boi akibos. The Ksiva, Mazameh anid yichab is v'gadav. The Pasuk says, the one who sprinkles, which we now know means not sprinkle, has to take his clothing to the mikvah, and again, but every day, yitmarar. Hanichal ma'adamah, pukti b'sadech t'svachim, the perik ha'svachim sh'nisar in perik 8, k'day sh'yit for Rashi k'voilim, No, it's Perek 8. Yeah, Perek 8. Shal Ezev, V'loi, Beis, V'loi Shiyisbaik B'kinuach. You have to dip it into the water. Can't wipe it. It has to be deep in that you can dip it instead of wiping it. Because wiping it, you can do on the sides or on the bottom. It doesn't have to have a shear to wipe. Whereas to dip, you have to have some liquid there on the bottom. Amartech Kama, I thought I understand it. We were like a memento, but I figured out that it's distant from me. Right to the Gemara. What is a zakena? A woman that 3 months passed, three times, the Gemara is going to say times, it's a month, we'll see that later, close to her old age. In fact, the Gemara, hey, she dami samak lusaknasa. What does that mean, close to her old age? When is a woman considered within the range of being menopause, postmenopausal? Amar Rav Yehuda, kosher chaver se'ar mesalut skeidei. When the woman start referring to her as an old lady. When she's looked at as an old lady, when people say, oh, she's an old lady. What?
No.
I don't know where you are. I'm on the bottom line on Testament Olive. You might be ahead of me. I know you're ahead of me. Kosher chaver se'ar mesalut skeidei. Her friends say, she's an old lady. That means she's samach l'tiknasa. The fact that she's being referred to as an old lady is a misimen that she's close to being old.
What if someone's very sensitive?
Again, that's what you'll call your psychologist in. This is a 2026 question, I know. They'll ruin her life forever because somebody called her an old lady. I know, in sensitivity age of 2026, you have to be extremely politically correct. You're a young lady that just turned older, that's all. Yes?
When Heskey was in the IDF, he was 24,
everyone else was 19.
I call him Saba.
Okay. But then again, Miss Alexa. Now, in English, I never heard it. But in Yiddish, young people will say to an old lady, Mama. They'll refer to her as Mama, meaning they can call her Mama, not because it's their mother. Because she's an old lady. In Yiddish, there's the term mama, you know, mama was a little kid. Mama. They say mama. I've heard it in Yiddish, it happens. I never heard it in English that anybody should say to the lady, mommy. No, they don't do that. But they don't even say mommy. They say mama, which means you're an old lady. You're a mother. You know what I mean? Like today we would say tanta. You know, you want to call an old lady by an endearing term, you say tanta. Right.
You're close. That means you're
old. No, you don't say it to a 25-year-old lady. You don't say it to a 40-year-old lady. You say it to an older lady. Right? Like, Mrs. Mann was called Bobby Mann. Everybody referred to her as Bobby Mann. Right? It was in a way of referring to her. She wasn't my grandmother, but she was Bobby Mann. So in those days, they used to say, Ima, the mama. She's a mama.
She wasn't always Bobby.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
We have it in English sometimes. I mean, we have Grandma Moses as the famous painter.
But,
you know, it just depends what part of the country you're from.
Mother, not mama. It's like Bubby instead of mommy. Right, same thing. Except in Yiddish, they used to do that term. I remember, I heard it many times. Bein Abusha, she doesn't get embarrassed. She gets embarrassed, that means she's not old enough. Once she's accepting of that term, that means she's facing reality. She has to be old. There are women that get upset when you call them old lady, mama or grandma, and there are women that are embarrassed, but they're not upset. A lady that gets embarrassed by calling that, but she doesn't get upset. That means she's recognizing that she's getting there. So one man the other says she's a skeina, and one man the other says as long as she's upset, she's not a skeina. Now, I know the problem with the Gemara, and I don't have a good answer, is it becomes totally the person's personality. People that get upset about every little thing will be upset at who knows what age, right? So if we're leaving it up to an individual woman, here is the individual woman, whether she gets upset or not. I don't think that's shot in the Gemara. I think it means an age. There was an age that was accepted that you're going to be called that. You might as well not get upset because you're going to be called that way anyway. And there was an age before that that you weren't ready for that yet, but you didn't get embarrassed. You got embarrassed, but you couldn't get upset. You were embarrassed, but you didn't get upset anymore.
Resentment comes first for embarrassed?
It seems that embarrassed comes first, and not being embarrassed comes first. Sorry, Dabba. Not being upset comes first for not being embarrassed. People are still embarrassed because they still, you know, it's embarrassing. I don't know what's embarrassing. If you become old, the alternative is much worse. Yes?
Well, first of all, I don't know if if you want proof of what you're saying, all you have to do is look around, sleep at night, and see how many white shapes you see. I am aware of one white shape of Kaiser, which is this is gift.
Okay.
With where one, it's like ludicrous. You have these people with agent faces and jet black, you know, pseudo hair.
Right.
So, it's, so
the drive to remain young. Ponce de Leon. That was the guy that came to look for the bounce of youth. Right.
I don't know why you would want to be.
But
as said many times, if somebody is still stagnant, you know.
Again,
if you are who you are,
we're talking about physical. We're not talking about mental state. I agree. As long as you feel like you're growing, you're young. But you're not young physically. You're young emotionally. You're young mentally, which is very important. But Chaim Kanievsky was young to the day he died, but he wasn't physically young. It's, you know, we're talking about the physical. That's what we're talking about.
How does this determine the halacha?
Because that means that people don't do that till the woman is close to being postmenopausal.
It doesn't have to see she's machmir or not.
Because, again, we're talking about, that's why I said, it's not 2026. It's those days, there was an age that it was accepted to be called that way. You might as well not get upset about it.
And by that point, they became a skena.
Again, skena, logically, is being determined. We don't know this woman's personal life, whether she's postmenopausal or not. Once she's at the age that we consider her samuch l'ziknasa, and that's the age that's determined by the regular woman's reaction to being called old at that age. Why are they calling her old? Why are people calling her old? Because she is old. So that means she's close to being old. Women are postmenopausal. It's a fact.
Okay.
I don't see what's bothering you. The halacha depends on being postmenopausal. Does a woman supposed to enter a file? Or do we say, at a certain age, we can assume that they're being almost postmenopausal or postmenopausal?
And that's how we decide if they touch anything that's harmful.
Within 24 hours before. Okay. That's what it is.
I imagine if a person is 30 or even 70 and they don't have three periods.
That's the machloekas. Everybody has in Rabbanu. We had a machloekas in the Mishnah. Whether it's only Zekena or is it any woman. We had it before, we're going to have it again coming up. Yeah, that's a machloekas. The Mishnah says Zekena, Samuch L'Ziknasa. So we're trying to determine at what point do we consider a woman close to being menopausal.
So how could, Clinton, when you add that thing close to being old, how could you say to a younger woman that this period...
This is the Rabbanu Shita, there's a machloekas. Again, go back to
that. I don't understand the other Shita that it could just be...
Okay, let's try one more time. Let's go back to the Mishnah on Zion of Days. Where the Mishnah said, Ezer Skena. On Zion of Days, the fifth line from the top. Last word. Ezer Skena. Kol Shavru Alav Shalav Shayin Nesamach Lutik Nasa. Rebbe Eliezer, I mean, no. Kol Ezer Shavru Alav Shayin Nesamach Lutik Nasa. Nothing to do with Ignasa. We're now talking in the first Shita. The first Shita wants to know, when do we call the lady Samach L'Ziknasa? Dr. Az.
Imayin, Tosis brings one very Esther. The top
right.
Tosis.
Right. Thank you. Yes.
There may be an approach which possibly answers the question about Imayima, which is that as people age, psychological things occur in many of the people. For instance, most notably, if you think about the way you think about your oncoming death right now versus the way you thought about oncoming death when you were 13, that was a very, very different thing. And there's a certain amount of normal ways of thinking in people which very well may be related to hormonal changes.
Could be. Lighter. Dr. Gemara Weiter, Mekama Aina, there is no Rashi on top. Mekama Aina, what is three Ainas? What is an Aina? Three times what? Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Nesiah, who was Rabbi's Einikol. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiah is not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, it's his grandson. Aina Beinanes Shleishim Yaim. The medium for lack of a better word, is 30 days. We assume that women see periods once every 30 days. Doesn't have to be exactly on 30, but around 30 days. 30 days is the time we assume that within 30 days a woman has a period. That's the regular. So 3 oinus is 3 times 30. That's shalosh oinus. The time of a period is 30 days. Amar Rav Chisda, Eshrim Yayim. He said it's 20 days. Zamti Gemara v'loy pligi. Ma'ar l'chashi v'mei tumah v'mei tara. Ma'ar l'chashi v'mei tumah. In a woman's cycle, again, this is a perception. A woman becomes a nida, she's coming for 7 days. There's a possibility that during the next 11 days, she'll become a zaba, which would mean she sees 3 more days. It's a possibility. So in a 30-day cycle, you say a woman could possibly see bitame for 10 days, meaning she'll bitame longer, but she needs 7 clean days. But she's seeing blood 10 days.
How do you get 10?
7 days of nida, and 3 days to make her a zaba, if she becomes a zaba. So of the 30 days, there's 20 days that we assume a woman didn't see anything, and 10 days that she possibly saw blood. So therefore, we say 20 for the days of Tara and 30 for the whole cycle. Dr. Rashi, Yemei Tumah V'Yemei Tara. Meriya V'Adriya, from one period to the next, Shloshim Yayim. Yemei Tumah Asara. There's 10 possible Tumah days. Asara V'Shiva L'Nida U'Shloshim L'Ziva. V'Eshrim Yemei Tara. That doesn't mean that every woman is has blood for 10 days. It means that if you have factor in the possibilities, 7 days of nida and 3 days to make her a zava.
I understand, but what if she has 1 day of discharge as a ziva period?
She's not a zava then. She becomes a zava. Again, all we're saying is the maximum. The maximum days that we assume a woman saw in during the 30-day period is 10. That's what we're saying.
And what if every other day in her zivas she sees?
So the Gemara deals with what happens in halacha. But when we're talking about a cycle, and we're taking into account what we want to call a cycle, so we say 10 days for tumah. You're right. The Gemara, and I don't understand why the Gemara had to say it that way. I would have said 30 days, and I don't care what happens during those 30 days. But the Gemara says that way. I mean, it's possible that a woman will have it longer. Okay. But we're just talking to... We're not determining that it has to happen to every woman. Yes?
The first 7 days, those reasons are exempt from zava.
Yeah. During the first 7 days, she's a nida, whether she sees, she doesn't see.
She sees all 7 days.
Till the end of the nidus, if the 20 minutes before Ben Hashemashas, she stops seeing, she checks herself, she's clean, she goes to the mikvah at Tzeitzakachav.
But there's 3 more days after beyond that.
That she could. There's more. There's 11 days. That during those 11 days, she could see 3 days and become a zava.
So wait, 7 plus 11.
11 is the time she could become a zava.
So according to the second...
He's just saying there's 10 possible tumah days.
Which is interesting. You have a negative judgment right there.
Again, that's less than 10. Okay. It's not saying that every woman is a zava. That's what Dr. Harris pointed out. But this is the regular assumption of what a woman would see tumah. Would see tumah if you see.
Venus means the average woman.
Venus is used the halacha. Because most women don't have a best kavua today. And since they don't have a best kavua today, Ida Venus becomes the day of their best. Right. A woman that has a vest kavua doesn't have to worry about Ein HaBen. She has her vest. So we use Ein HaBen in this for the woman that doesn't have a vest kavua.
Ein HaBen in it?
That's what it is. The regular, the average, a medium, I don't know what you want to call it.
30?
That's 30. I shouldn't say that because the Chavazaz holds it day 31. Session is Ein HaBen in this after 30 or Ein HaBen in this day 30. So Machlokes, I believe the Shach or the Taz with the Chavos Das. That's when some people are Machpat 30 and 31 because of the Chavos Das Shita. By the way, Chavos Das, who we mentioned frequently in this Masechta, is the Nesivos, is the Derech Chaim, as in many other svarim that he wrote. In Yerideya, he's referred to as Mechav HaZas, because that's his sefer in Yerideya. In Chesed Mishpat, he's called the Nesivus. In Aruch Chaim, he's called the Derech Chaim. So, what was his name? I have no idea. He's the Nesivus. I have no idea what his last name means. It makes no difference to us. You know, just like I don't care what color pants he wore. He probably wore black pants, I assume. Why not? But, you know, it's like Avraham Avinu wore a yarmulke. I can prove it to you. Avraham Avinu without a yarmulke. Right, so that's the proof. I have no idea what his last name was. But he's one of the big achroinim that made a big impact on halacha, in all areas of halacha. He wrote Sefer Tokas Gittin, Tyrus Gittin, many, many, many swarm from the Nesivus. We call him the Nesivus or the Chavis Das. We call him by every section of the Torah we're learning. In your day, he's the Chavis Das. Okay, now we're going to get involved in the following story. I'm just going to introduce it today. We'll do it tomorrow. A woman went by 90 days, an old lady, whatever that means. And she went 90 days without a period. She saw a period. She doesn't have to go 24 hours back. She had another 90 days without a period. She saw a period. She went another 90 days without a period. And she saw a period. At one point, do we say she's not postmenopausal? She's seeing periods on a regular basis. It happens to be big intervals, but she's seeing periods on a regular basis. So what point do we say we consider her postmenopausal? And at one point we say she's just determined a new intervals for her, and she's still within the menopausal range.
And that would affect
the diashaita. It would affect the 24 hours. No longer diashaita. Now, that's one thing I want to introduce today. The other thing I want to introduce today, which is what Rashi keeps on bringing in, which makes things a little bit more complicated, is the Machlokes Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. What makes a chazaka? When do we determine that chazaka? Two times or three times? Rebbe said two times, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says three times. Now, the Gemara Yevamos brings this mach like this and paskins it and says in certain cases we paskin like Rebbe, and in certain cases we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But we're not learning halacha now. We're learning the Gemara. And some of the Gemaras here will be only according to Rebbe. Rashi will point it out. And there'll be one Gemara that comes up later that Rashi will say that's only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Again, remembering that Rebbe says consistency is developed by two times, and Rav Shimon Gamliel saying it needs three times to develop consistency. So there's two factors we have to remember here. We're going to be talking about women who going long periods of time, long intervals of time without seeing, but developing a pattern. And Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel argue, what is a pattern? Two times or three times? We'll continue our meditation tomorrow.